You were made for far more than you're living right now. Now, you may be saying, well, you know, Rick, I'm living the good life. Well, you may be. A lot of people are living the good life. The good life is looking good, feeling good, and having the goods. You know what the problem with the good life is? It ain't good enough. Why? Because I know a lot of people who look good, feel good, have the goods, and are still dissatisfied. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why? Because you were made for far more.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in a series called The Answer is Easter. You'll want to stay tuned because in this series, Pastor Rick shows us how Easter perfectly illustrates the way to move from days that are sometimes devastatingly painful and confusing into days that are filled with joy, celebration, and victory. This is a series you'll want to be sure to share with your friends. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a resource that will help you experience joy no matter what your circumstances are. You can find out more right now by going to rickwarren.org or by texting the word daily to 313131 while you listen to today's broadcast. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Easter in 3D.
You know, this past year was the breakout year for 3D movies. 26 major motion pictures were made in the 3D format. Actually, 3D format is not new. It was patented in 1897 by an English guy. The first 3D movie was in 1915. It's been around that long. But now with HD TVs and 3D TVs, it's becoming a big thing. And what they're doing is they're going back and they're taking old classic movies that have already been made in black and white and then in color, and they're remaking them a third time in 3D. And so I was reading an article about this week, and I thought a pretty perceptive comment that this guy said. Here was a guy who had watched the same movie three times. He watched it first in black and white, then he watched it the second time in color, and then the third time he watched it in 3D. And he said this: when I saw the movie in black and white, I got the facts of the story. I got the facts of the story. It's very black and white. But he says, when I saw it in color, the story got me. All of a sudden it became alive. The story got me. It got interesting once I saw the color. But he says, when I saw it in 3D, it became my story. My story. In other words, I felt like I was a part of the story. I could reach out and touch it. I could feel it. I was actually experiencing it. I was part of the story. Now, when I heard that quote, it just, a little light went on in my brain that said, that's the reason why most people don't get excited about Easter. They've never seen it in 3D. They've only seen it in a one-dimensional act in black and white, just the facts, ma'am. And they go, yeah, okay, I believe that, so what, ho-hum. And they don't get excited about the full message of the resurrection. The truth is, what happened 2012 years ago that split history into AD and BC, this is the most important event in history. Nothing even comes close to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because every other date in history is graded or dated, including your birth, your birthday, according to this event. When we say 2012, from what? From this event. Do you realize that if Jesus Christ hadn't raised from the dead, you'd have a different birth date? Because everything in the world is dated either BC, before Christ, or AD, in the year of our Lord, because Easter split history. So it's the most significant event in history. But most people go, yeah, okay, so what? I get it. Big deal. Ho-hum. Now let's go get some eggs.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Easter in 3D. There's more great teaching coming up, so please stay with us. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, you've no doubt heard Pastor Rick say that the secret to being happy, no matter what, is looking at every experience and circumstance you face from God's viewpoint. That's why we'd like to tell you about the new Choose Joy devotional, written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. Each devotion begins with much-needed encouragement from Scripture, followed by Kay's wise words on how to choose joy, minute by minute, if necessary. Kay wraps up each devotion with a short prayer to help bring you closer to the source of all joy, our loving God. If you need to revolutionize the way you look at life's ups and downs, let us send you this beautiful hardcover devotional book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Choose Joy devotional by Kay Warren.
Once again, here's Rick.
The truth is, what happened 2012 years ago that split history into AD and BC, this is the most important event in history. Nothing even comes close to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because every other date in history is graded or dated, including your birth, your birthday, according to this event. When we say 2012, from what? From this event. Do you realize that if Jesus Christ hadn't raised from the dead, you'd have a different birth date? Because everything in the world is dated either BC, before Christ, or AD, in the year of our Lord, because Easter split history. So it's the most significant event in history. But most people go, yeah, okay, so what? I get it. Big deal. Ho-hum. Now let's go get some eggs. So why? Because they only see it in black and white. Easter actually is a three-dimensional event. The first dimension is the proof of the resurrection. The second dimension is the promise of the resurrection. And the third dimension is the power of the resurrection. Let me explain it this way. The first dimension of Easter is about what happened 2012 years ago. It's the past event. The second phase, or the second dimension of Easter, is about the future. It's the future expectation. And the third dimension of Easter is about the present power or experience in your own life. And that's really the one I want to talk to you about, because that's the thing that'll change your life, is that third dimension. Most people don't even know what we're going to talk about this morning, the third dimension of Easter. Now, this weekend, I'm beginning a new series, and we're calling it Life as It Was Meant to Be, because you were made for so much more. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what you're living right now? It's a fraction of what God had in store for your life. We live so far below what God planned for our lives, we don't even realize it. You were made for far more than you're living right now. Now, you may be saying, well, you know, Rick, I'm living the good life. Well, you may be. A lot of people are living the good life. The good life is looking good, feeling good, and having the goods. You know what the problem with the good life is? It ain't good enough. It's not good enough. Why? Because I know a lot of people who look good, feel good, have the goods, and are still dissatisfied. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Why? Because you were made for far more. There's actually something better than the good life. And we're going to talk about today. It's called the better life. And the better life is actually far better than even the good life. And so we're going to look at this, but you cannot live what we're going to talk about this next month, the better life, the life God intended for you to live, that He meant for you to live. You can't even live it unless you're plugged into the power. So here's what I want you to do. For the next few minutes, I want you to listen as if your life depended on it. Because it does. It does. What I'm about to share with you is the most important information you will ever be given in your life. I'm not saying this because I'm saying it, but because where it's coming from. It explains where you came from and where you're going. It explains your past, your present, and your future. It explains your purpose on this planet, and it explains why you have the problems that you have. It explains the whole reason the universe exists and what it's all about. So I want you to listen as if your life depends on it, because it could change the rest of your life. So let's look at this event that happened 2012 years ago from the past and the future and the present experience, all three dimensions. All right? All right. First is the proof of the resurrection. That's the first dimension. The proof of the resurrection. And what is the proof of the resurrection? Well, the fact is, Jesus made outrageous claims when he was here on earth. Jesus made some of the most outrageous claims anybody in history has ever made. He said things like, I am God, you need to worship me. I am God come in the flesh from heaven in human form. He said, I am the only way to heaven. He didn't say it once, he said it multiple times. Now, he's either a con man, a fake, or he's telling the truth, or he's loony. He said things like, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, I am the door to heaven. Many, many other statements that are outrageous. Now, that's not really anything particularly new, because people claim to be God for centuries. Lots of people claim to be God. The difference between Jesus and everybody else who claimed to be God is this. Jesus said, I'm going to give you a way to know that it's true. I'm going to prove it to you. He said, I'm going to let them put me to death, and I'm going to die, and I'm not going to die for like 5 minutes and be resuscitated off the table. That's a resuscitation. That's not a resurrection. I'm going to die, and I'm going to be dead for 3 full days, and I'm going to be buried. And then I'm going to bring myself back to life. And then you will know that all these things that I'm saying are the truth, that I'm not putting you on, that I'm telling you the straight dope. This is it. I am who I say I am. I am the Son of God. Now, these claims, he didn't just say them once. He said it over and over and over and over and over. So everybody in that day knew about the claims of Jesus. Everybody knew that Jesus had said many, many times, I'm going to let him kill me, I'm going to be dead, and 3 days later I'm going to come back to life, and that's how you're going to know that I'm doing what I'm doing and that I'm saying the truth. Now, when Jesus first started telling these predictions, He did it kind of vague. He did it in metaphors. And you really didn't pick it up unless you knew what you were looking for. But as it got closer to his death, the resurrection, he got very, very specific, crystal clear. You couldn't miss it. Let me just show you a few examples of Jesus' claim about the proof of the resurrection. Look up here on the screen. Jesus said in Matthew 12 in the Bible, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, the great fish, for 3 days and nights, so I will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He said, I'm going to be dead for 3 days. Let me show you another one. This is another metaphor. Jesus is talking to religious leaders, and he says, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days. Now, they replied, it took 46 years to build this temple. They're thinking he's talking literally, the temple in Jerusalem. And you're going to raise it in 3 days? Not on your life. Not a chance, buddy. But the temple he had spoken of was his own body. So he starts off talking in metaphors, but as it gets closer, he starts saying stuff like this. Look on the screen. Jesus told them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he will be raised from the dead. Now, what did his disciples respond to with this? Did they believe him? Absolutely not. Nobody believed him when he said it. Even the disciples, his followers didn't. They said, and the disciples' hearts were filled with grief because all they heard was the part, I'm going to die. And in no way did they ever imagine that Jesus Christ could actually do what he said he was going to do, bring himself back to life. Now, the week before Jesus is crucified, he starts heading for Jerusalem. He knows he's going there to be killed. And he tells in graphic words exactly what's going to happen a week before it happens. Jesus says this in Matthew 20. When we get to Jerusalem, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law. And they will sentence him to die. And then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked and whipped and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. That's pretty clear. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying that the proof of the resurrection is going to prove who I am, my identity. So I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. The proof of the resurrection is Jesus proved he was God. Jesus proved he was God. He said, I'm going to let him kill me. I'll die 3 days, and then I'm going to come back, and they'll be able to you'll be all be able to see me. Now, this claim, as I said, is so well known that even Jesus' critics, even the people who put him to death, knew about it. It wasn't some secret. The whole world knew that Jesus had made this claim over and over and over. They're going to kill me, and I'm going to come back to life. In fact, the day after they killed him, the guys who killed him went to the governor, the Roman governor named Pilate, and here's what they said. Look up here on the screen. The next day, after they had killed Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate, the governor. This is the Roman guy. And they told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said." They're talking about Jesus. "We know what that con man, that crook, we know what that phony, fake deceiver guy said. Everybody knows what he said. While he was still alive, he said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised from the dead.'" So they came up with a plan. And they say, "So, Your Honor, we request that you seal the tomb until the third day." Actually, that makes sense. Okay, I mean, if I don't believe Jesus, I would say, good idea. Let's just seal the tomb. And it says, "This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body." Makes sense. His body, stealing his body, and then telling everybody that he came back to life. Now, you know, if I were a skeptic, this actually is a pretty good plan. Because what if Jesus is put to death and then some true believers, fanatical types, come and steal the body and take it away and then claim, "Oh, we saw him and he's alive, but you don't get to see him." Well, the Pharisee said, "This, then we'd be worse off than we were at first." So this is actually a pretty good plan. And Pilate, the governor, replies, "Okay, take some guards and secure it the best you can." So they sealed the tomb. They put a Roman seal around the tomb that could not be broken. And they posted guards to protect it. This is the only time in history they have posted live soldiers to protect a dead man. They don't want Jesus coming out. They don't want the disciples going in. Okay? And so the plan is, everybody knew this claim, this proof that Jesus said he was going to give. Even the Romans, even the skeptics. Well, did Jesus keep his word? Yes, obviously he did. He came back to life. That's why today 2/3 of the world is celebrating Easter. And that's why your birth date is dated according to this event, because Jesus did prove who he say he was. Now, a lot of people don't understand how many proofs Jesus actually gave when he came back to life. Some people think, well, maybe he just like showed up in the morning to a couple people, goes, "Hi, I'm here, surprise," and poof, I'm out of here, like a ghost or something. No. He stayed on earth for the next 40 days, walking around, having meetings with people. He talked with them, he hugged with them, he ate dinner with them. One time he went fishing with a group of guys. One time Jesus had a party with 500 people up on a hill. He was walking around town. I mean, it wasn't just one eyewitness. For 40 days he was seen by many, many, many different people. And it wasn't a ghost, it wasn't a hologram. They talked to him, they hugged him, he ate dinner with them. He cooked them dinner at one point. Let me just show you a couple examples of this. In the book of Acts, in the Bible, chapter 1, it says this. For 40 days after his death, Jesus appeared to people many times in many ways that proved beyond doubt that he really was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them. They had a conversation about the kingdom of God. Now, later on, Paul, the apostle in the Bible, actually lists some of these eyewitnesses. He doesn't give us all of them, but he lists some of the witnesses who saw this 1D, the black and white, the proof of the resurrection. And Paul says this in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said, and he was buried, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day." And then he gives us a list of just some, not all, just some of the eyewitnesses. He says he was seen by Peter. And he said next he was seen by the 12 apostles. And he goes, after that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time. Did you know that? One time Jesus had a party with 500 followers after the resurrection. It's kind of a post-resurrection party up on a hill. 500 of his followers saw him, most of whom, Paul says, are still alive, though some have died by now. He's saying, now as I'm writing this, these guys are still alive. Go talk to them. It's not like you can't go talk. There are 500 eyewitnesses out there. They're still alive. Go talk to them. You can talk to any of them and say, did that really happen? Or was it just kind of a vision? Or did you get psyched out? Or, you know, did you take smoke something? Or, you know, what happened? Just go talk to those people and you'll find out the truth about Jesus was here for 40 more days. Then he was seen by James. And later he was seen by all of the apostles. And he says, last of all, I saw him too. Now, you know, if you know anything about the Bible, Paul was not a Christian. In fact, he was anti-Christian. He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He was killing Christians. He was putting Christians in jail. What caused him to flip teams? Well, all of a sudden he was a skeptic, and now he's a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, he said this, I saw him. Well, that would make me a believer too. Okay? I mean, if you had been in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified, it was public crucifixion, and you watched the guy die on the cross, and you're standing in the marketplace, and 3 days later, he's walking through, and you go, he's back. That would make me a believer too, real quick.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought, but right before that, we'd like to remind you that if you'd like a copy of today's broadcast or this entire series, you can simply go to rickwarren.org to get a copy for yourself or for a friend. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. It's great. And check out all the other available resources. If you've been listening to Daily Hope for a while, you've no doubt heard Pastor Rick say that the secret to being happy, no matter what, is looking at every experience and circumstance you face from God's viewpoint. And that's why we'd like to tell you about the new Choose Joy devotional, written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. Each devotion begins with much-needed encouragement from Scripture, followed by Kay's wise words on how to choose joy, minute by minute if necessary. Kay wraps up each devotion with a short prayer to help bring you closer to the source of all joy, our loving God. If you need to revolutionize the way you look at life's ups and downs, let us send you this beautiful hardcover devotional book as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Call today, 800-600-5004, or visit rickwarren.org to get your copy of this amazing resource. That's 800-600-5004, or rickwarren.org. Thanks so much for your support. When you contact us, remember to ask for the Choose Joy devotional by Kay Warren. And thanks again for your support. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, perhaps the best known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Easter is God shouting down to earth, I love you, I love you, I love you, I care about you, I want you in my family. Have you really grasped that? I want to challenge you this Easter. Don't come to your church's Easter service alone. You know, there are two times a year that most people will accept an invitation to a church service, Christmas and Easter. So don't miss this great opportunity to invite somebody that you care about who doesn't know Jesus. Don't go to church by yourself at Easter. You know, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. God wants a full house. And I want people in heaven because you cared enough to invite them. I guarantee you, the people that you invite to Easter service are going to hear a gospel message on Easter. So make a list of the people that you want to invite to bring to Easter service with you. Thanks for listening today. I'd love to hear from you. Write me, Rick, at rickwarren.org. And by the way, if you can send a gift this Easter to help us expand this ministry, I would deeply appreciate it. I know not everybody can afford to give a lot. Some of you can. But whatever amount you give, we're grateful for it. And I want you to know that all of the money given to this ministry goes into the ministry. I do this for free. I take no salary from it. And so you can be certain that this is going to further the good news all around the world. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Happy Easter. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.